Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Jason Aldean there. I got to see him in Nashville last week. The legendary trip included a Jason Aldean concert for my four-year-old and my wife. So I got to see that song performed live, amongst others. Still to come about an hour from now, John Wall, Alabama Republican Party chairman. So stay tuned for that. But joining us now off of his on the heels of his announcement for a U.S. Senate bid, we're pleased to have Congressman Barry Moore on the program. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, we are doing fine, and thank you for having us on.
Hey, thanks for making time. We always appreciate getting you on. Well, today was, I guess you made the official announcement that you're seeking the United States Senate. Talk a little bit about that decision, what led to it, and what led to this moment right now.
Well, for us, I think just if you think about it, and you and I were talking about this before coming on, that 10 years ago this month, we actually endorsed Donald Trump in Ladd People's Stadium, the first elected official in the nation to do that. And, you know, who knew 10 years ago that the attacks that would be leveled towards him and the opportunities we had to stand with him in the House and on Judiciary Committee. And so for us, we had to prayerfully consider this, but we felt like we needed somebody that he knew he could trust, and that Alabama loves Donald Trump, and so does the Moore family. And so we've been with him since day one, and we're going to continue to do what we can to be in a position to protect him and to move his agenda forward. And so that's how we came to this decision.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not a terribly crowded field. I guess this was kind of all contingent on Tommy Tuberville making a decision to run for governor. But when that happened, I mean, did this immediately come to mind, a U.S. Senate bid?
No, not really. I kind of was, you know, I enjoyed being in Congress. I've got good friends. And like I said, Jim Jordan and those guys are dear friends of mine. But as you look at the voting record, Coach has an incredibly conservative voting record. And he and I vote a lot alike. And so for those shoes to be filled, we thought we needed a conservative. And, you know, Bear Bryant said, "I ain't never been nothing but a winner." And Barry Moore ain't never been nothing but a Republican. And so we want to make sure that we come in behind Coach Tuberville and continue that conservative stance and be an ally with the president and help move his agenda for the American people and certainly for our great state forward. And so it wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't something I was really even thinking about. But through a lot of prayer and we felt led to do this. And so this is my assignment, and we're going to serve in that capacity and run on our record.
Well, let's talk about some issues. I mean, you got a pretty clear record, and as a U.S. congressman, Senate's a little bit of a different beast. Of course, most of it's parliamentary. You know, kind of talk about this, if you would. You know, will the focus be the same? Will it be just sort of holding the line on conservative ideals, or do you have to play the Senate game a little more? I mean, what do you see yourself as if you are elected to the United States Senate?
Well, you know, I just see myself as a constant conservative. And even the Senate is a little different, but all the executive orders that President Trump is pushing through, they need to be codified. If we have a Democratic administration, and both bodies have to vote on that. And I think Senator Britt said this weekend that we need to change the rules so we can get these nominations through. And I support that decision. I think we have to continue to help the president at the Senate level, at the House level, and codify so much of what he's done. And again, have his back. It surprises me the D.C. system, the swamp, and even some people within our own party were working against the very man that 75 million people in the United States wanted as president. And so I think it doesn't look a lot of different. And for me, Jeff, my history is you just don't change me. I'm a constant conservative fighter for your liberty. And I think I score as high as anybody in third party ratings from our delegation and across the country standing for the American people's liberty. And so whether it be from the shoals to the Gulf Shores, opening opportunities and giving people freedom to choose and having opportunities for Alabamians to go to work and have good jobs, those are the things that I think the president wants. It doesn't matter if you're in the Senate, the House, or the State House. We've got to make sure we push to make America truly great again.
Talk to us a little bit about, you know, running statewide. This will be new for you. Now, look, you spent some time in the Alabama legislature, so it's not totally unfamiliar because you dealt with, you know, as a member of the legislature, there's a lot of ins and outs with knowing the lay of the land statewide. A lot of times what impacts you guys in enterprise matters in the shoals, or it matters in North Alabama, but running statewide, and you know, is it? Do you think that the message that you've had that's been very successful for you since 2020 is going to resonate around the rest of the state?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I was vice chair of Small Business and Commerce in the state legislature, it was Alabama and developing workforce. I mean, we brought Polaris and Austal and Airbus and Remington and Canberra. All those companies came to Alabama. And so it doesn't matter where you're from originally, the impact on people who want to work for a living and have less regular, less taxes is the same across the country. Yeah, I think it resonates. And I think that experience of serving in the state legislature and really presented about every county in Alabama in Congress. And I think being one of the most accessible congressional officers in all of Washington, D.C. We came in second in the nation. So they kind of resonate very often. I think Alabama is more conservative than a lot of our representation. And I think for me to run on my record, it resonates. And it doesn't matter if you're in, like I said, Muscle Shoals or Gulf Shores. Those are the sort of things that as Americans we all believe in.
Now, that was one of your hallmarks, at least the last few years as a congressman, just having the accessibility and not necessarily personally, but having your office really, really be a very proactive force in constituent issues. Have you even given much thought to that as a U.S. Senator? How is it different? What would that be like, the entire state running that same sort of system you have in your congressional office?
Well, for us, I think it is about serving the people. And obviously with the Senate, I think you have a little larger staff, but we've made sure to make it a point, whether it was Baldwin County or Coffee County or wherever in between, that we had offices and staff that did mobile office hours. And so being a veteran myself, I understand that very often that's a large contingency that we help of our constituents is veterans. And so, you know, I think you continue to serve, and if you hire people with a servant's heart, it doesn't matter the title above the door. It's about taking care of the people. And so we have, I think we're at 7,000 cases we've resolved in just under 5 years, well, 4.5 years now. And it's just a matter of making that a priority, making the people who sent you there a priority, and being their voice on the vote, but also serving them to help cut the red tape to get what they need and what the government has agreed to. That's just what we do. And so I don't think it changes no matter your title.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore, candidate for U.S. Senate in next year's midterm elections. Congressman, let's handle some of these issues going on now. First of all, I'm just going to start off with what Donald Trump has done in the District of Columbia. You've spent time there. You know, people I talked to, it's not a safe city, is it?
No, it's not. Some of my kids lived there for a little while, and, you know, it is so unsafe. And for it to be the nation's capital, and really people can't come visit, they can't walk around at night unless they're walking with somebody. And even then there's the potential of a carjacking or a drive-by. That's not the kind of things, that's not what we want for the American people. And, you know, the left in this country were quick to disarm citizens and then say, call the police, and then they defunded the police. And so the president is right in this. The capital ought to be a shining city, literally on the hill of what we can do to fix problems. And if you look at the police unions, they agree. I mean, even I think over time, the D.C. City Council just kind of put the police in a predicament where they couldn't, if they draw their firearm, they're prosecuted, they're drugged through the mud. And if they don't, they wind up dead. And so we've got to make sure that law enforcement has our full support. And I think President Trump's doing what he can. And I think he's doing the right thing at this point. And I think these blue cities across the country need to pay quick attention that hey, this can be fixed, and he's a man that will do it.
I mean, as far as that, and now look, the D.C. situation's, I think, different than other U.S. cities, because the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., is a federal city. It's in the Constitution. But what would you say to that if this works and there's some success here in other blue cities around the country that seem to take a hands-off or whatever? I don't know what's going on in these Democrat-controlled cities. But something changed over the last 5 years where the crime has just gotten out of control. And, you know, would this be applicable to Detroit or Chicago or wherever?
Well, I certainly think that the voters in those cities can see if you, in fact, back law enforcement and if you champion the rule of law and you actually have a penalty for a crime, that you can protect the people who elected you to protect them. And so I don't know what that looks like in other states. Like you said, we do have purview as federal government in Washington, D.C., and I think President Trump's going to do what he can to make sure that city's safe. But I think hopefully the people will see there is a way to fix these problems, and it starts with electing the right kind of people and people who believe in the rule of law. And it's unfortunate what we're seeing in so many blue cities and the crime that we're seeing. But listen, when you got DAs and AGs that just slap people on the wrist and turn them loose, it creates zero deterrent to the criminal to stop attacking and harassing the citizens of those communities.
Congressman, the President Trump's meeting with the Russian President Vladimir Putin on Ukraine, you know, Ukraine was such a big part of your last campaign. It came down, I think a lot of votes came down to that, backing more federal government resources being sent to Ukraine, which was something a lot of people on the conservative side of the equation really were against. And that was kind of a make or break issue in some ways in your last election. What do you talk a little bit about Trump ahead of this meeting with Vladimir Putin? And you know, is he going in a good place here on Ukraine, do you think?
You know, you have to trust the president. I think his track record, the peace deals he's negotiated thus far in this second term, I think you have to trust his ability. Because, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, not peacekeepers, but peacemakers. And so in a sense, if you're going to make peace, you have to be willing to go to the table and negotiate tough deals. President Trump used tariffs in his first term to stop two countries from going to war with each other, had always wanted to war with each other. And I think for us to just pour money into places like Ukraine without oversight, $176 billion to a very young 36-year-old democracy that we knew was corrupt. Burisma was there. And so money is not – it takes leadership and management in addition to resources. And sometimes that's in the form of threats or tariffs or whatever you've got to do to get these people to the table. And so you trust President Trump on these things, Jeff. I think he's a great negotiator. One of the first books I read was The Art of the Deal. He knows how to sit down and get people to the table and get to agreement. And so whether it's the Abraham Accords or the negotiations recently with other countries, I think President Trump is the man for the job at this time in the nation. And I'm going to trust his leadership on it, and I hope that we see some fruits from his labor.
Well, and kind of in a similar vein here, I think we've talked a little since this, but Trump in Israel and the strikes on Iran got some, you know, kind of on the conservative side a little perplexed. I don't know that, you know, these foreign entanglements, but Trump's policy in the Middle East, it seems to be working. We haven't heard much out of that part of the world, which is probably a good thing. But what do you make of what you see there?
Well, you know, I've said Genesis 12:3 says, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And I think President Trump has stood with Israel. He's been an ally of Israel. That's not to say everything they do is perfect. I'm not saying that. But we know for a fact, if you disarmed Israel, they would be obliterated. If you disarmed the nations around Israel, there would be peace in the region. And so if you look at Israel's defensive weapons, whether it's the Iron Beam or the Iron Dome or even the reactive armor on their tanks, those are defensive weapons. Israel approaches it very often with warning shots to get people out of the area that are innocent so they can go after the bad actors. So to call Israel and some, you know, these leftists in the country want to call them genocidal or whatever, that is just simply not the case. I've been to Israel, and you see that they're trying to live in peace. They have shelters all around the region to run to when they're under attack from these terrorist organizations in that area. And so I think President Trump has done a fine job. And again, I think he'll use tariffs and force in places where he has to, but he will be a peacemaker in the process because he doesn't like the loss of innocent life and these unprovoked attacks from places like Iran or across the Gaza Strip, whatever that looks like. I think President Trump is continually mindful that we don't need people being attacked just for being who they are.
Wrap it up on this, Congressman, and this is more of your duties as a member of the House of Representatives. We saw the big, beautiful bill, and it got passed. There's some discussion about another shot at reconciliation here and doing something else. So what do we need to know about anything pertaining to that?
Well, I think that we're going to continue to try to work. And, you know, there was a lot of things that Doge exposed, and I think we've seen some rescissions even since the Big Beautiful Bill. And so to Speaker Johnson's credit, to be able to get us across the finish line. And if there's another bite at the apple, we certainly need to continue to move in that direction. Anything we can do, Jeff, to lower the tax burden on the American people and cut the waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government, there is still a lot of that out there. I was one of the few members in the last session that voted to do away with the USAID because I just felt like there was a lot of waste in that program. And certainly when pulled the bell back, there was. And so if there's another bite at the apple, we're going to do what we can to try to take out some of that waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, just in the Big Beautiful Bill, the tax cuts for people that are working for tips or overtime, and at the same time saying, hey, you know what, if you're on Medicaid and you're not contributing, we're going to force you to do it, at least participate in the workforce and kick illegals off those programs. Those programs are not meant to be a spider web. They're meant to be a safety net. And very often people get in those systems and just stay in there and they burden the taxpayers. So we're saying, hey, for the people who are working out there, we're going to give you a tax break. And for the people who aren't working, you're not going to live off subsidies from the taxpayers. And so I think the Big Beautiful Bill is part of that. I think that the rescissions package recently passed is as well as part of cutting some of that wasteful spending. And moving forward, we get a bite of the apple, we need to take it.
Congressman, folks want to find out more about your campaign, your announcement. You did it on video this morning or whatever else they need to know about you. How can they do so?
Yeah, Barry Moore for Alabama, Jeff. Just have them go on there. And I invite all your listeners, if they want to be up at our big launch event Friday night at the Blue Pond in Sylvania, Alabama, DeKalb County, my wife's home area. I'd love to have them there. We're going to have President Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, Brian Hollihan, and a number of special guests there with us that night. It's going to be some barbecue sandwiches, some live music, and a great night to launch the Barry Moore for Alabama Senate campaign.
Congressman, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff.
All right, that was Barry Moore, candidate for United States Senate here on the program. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.